Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so a plot has been uncovered this week to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Also, the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, determined that the Honey Badger pistol is in violation of the National Firearms Act. So that was enacted. So we're going to find out about that. Going to talk with Edwin Walker with the Texas and U.S. Law Shield. Also, in a TV crew security detail shot and killed a member of a Patriot militia during a rally in Denver, Colorado. Man, a lot going on down there in Denver. It's sad when you have your TV crews need security. That's definitely a problem. So expect to see some more of that stuff happening around the country. All right, because as these protests grow, as the election comes and goes, you know, definitely, you know, expect to see a little more of that, because more people are going to be carrying their guns. There's going to be some people that are going to be upset about the fact that their candidate did not win the election. So some stuff is going to come from that. And speaking of the election, let's talk about, you know, what happens when you walk into a polling place. All right, so when it comes to election, because this week, Tuesday, starts early voting. Got to walk into a polling place, you got to go vote. Early voting starts Tuesday, then election day is in November, the first Tuesday of November. So how do you conduct yourself if you're a gun owner and you're going to a polling location? Well, let's take it like this. All right, so let's say the polling location is your favorite grocery store. Well, you walk into the grocery store. Every other day throughout the year, you have your license. You can carry your handgun inside the grocery store. You can open carry or conceal carry your handgun in the grocery store. All right, not a problem at all. Now, if it's early voting or election day and you go past that little sign that says no campaigning past this point, you are committing a felony if you take any weapons at all past that point. You're committing a felony, okay? That's 2 to 10 years in jail if you go past that little sign that says no campaigning past this point. All right, we're talking polling locations, and you know that you can actually use your LTC, your license to carry handgun, to actually go vote. You can use that. That's an ID. So you can walk into the poll location, give them your license to carry handgun, and go ahead and select your candidates. But guess what? As soon as you do that, they're actually going to start looking at you, and they're going to say, hey, you know, is this person carrying a gun? And they're going to start checking you out. And if you are taking a firearm in the polling location, you're committing a felony. So don't go past that little sign. Okay, you're not going to get any warnings. There's no sign that says no guns here, anything like that. The only warnings that you're going to get is that, hey, vote for me, election here. El vote is all you're going to get. And that's your only warning. So You see those signs that say, hey, vote here, vote for me, leave the gun in the vehicle. Don't even go past that little sign that says no campaigning past this point. And just so you know, if you want to look it up, that's in the Texas Penal Code 46.03. So check it out.
The way that the penal code states it, isn't it within 100 feet of a polling location?
Doesn't give footage, but you can't go past that little, you can't go past that sign that says no campaigning past this point.
What if somebody picks the sign up and then moves it further in?
Well, that's what your election judge is for. That election judge is responsible for making sure the signs are in the correct place and none of that stuff has been moved because they got to check that stuff every single day. What you got? Go ahead, throw it at me.
I thought it was 100 feet.
Nah. We'll ask Edwin to make sure, you know, to verify that, you know, for us. So, I get so many different phone calls. I get phone calls from different instructors and stuff like that because it's a lot of information, you know, that's supposed to be covered in a course. And it doesn't matter if you're going to get your license or not. If you're going to carry a gun, you know, even without a license, you're going to carry a gun in your vehicle, whatever, you still need to take a course to learn what the laws are. Because I'm telling you, you make these little mistakes like this, you go to the grocery store, you park within, you know, we pass that little point that says no campaigning past this point, something happens, you pull your gun out, guess what? You're committing a felony. That's 2 to 10 years in jail. So don't forget it. Any questions about that? Good. Now, let's talk about this plot that was uncovered this week to kidnap the governor of Michigan. What you got?
Okay, so 13 men have been charged. 13 men have been charged in a plot against the Michigan governor and police. From what I have read and researched, there are 6 men charged in federal court that have been charged with conspiring to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. They're part of a paramilitary group called the Wolverine Watchmen. They're not Proud Boys. They're not white supremacists. They're not nothing like that. They're Wolverine Watchmen, part of the paramilitary group. There's a video that was showing one of the leaders of the group saying, you know, Trump is not your friend. They're not, at least this specific individual is not a Trump supporter. And then there were another 7 men in addition to those 6 who were seeking to start a civil war, quote, civil war, by storming the Capitol building with armed and dangerous. That was what that plot was, and federal agents foiled that.
And that's crazy. I mean, you know, this is going to be the problem. This is why constitutional carry is not going to get passed in Texas, because little things like this. This is stuff that will come up when they're in session to say, hey, this is why you cannot pass this. This is why you're not going to be able to pass that. These are going to be the reasons they're going to bring this stuff up. And that's going to kill it right there. I'm telling you right now. Don't take my word for it. Just wait. When the hearings start, I guarantee you the first anti-gun person that gets up is going to mention this incident
so
right here.
I want to mention 2 more things. So these 2 different sects of people here, the 6 men that were charged for kidnapping and the 7 that were charged with...
They say they don't even get along with each other.
Well, it's 2 different groups. I don't know what the second group is, but they say that this was going on for months. Mm. There was months of planning going into this, and they actually rehearsed her kidnapping.
Wow.
they really put a lot of effort into this. And one of the men from one of the groups was actually pardoned in Delaware the last year.
For so what?
Give me a second. Okay. I'll get back to you. But the yeah, it's regardless, it's the reason they did it was because they were saying that she was acting tyrannical, using her powers to shut things down, and that the shutdown orders regarding coronavirus were unconstitutional.
See, this is the problems when you have little rich kids that get involved in politics and you don't get things your way. Things are not going to happen your way. Things are not going to always go your way. But what's going to happen is, you know, you're privileged. Yeah, get rid of that privilege. It's not going to happen your way. What you do is you wait 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you go vote. That's what you do. And that's how you get rid of people that you don't like. You don't like what they're doing. You don't like their politics. Then you vote them out of office. You come up with arguments. You debate the issue. And you get them removed from office. That's how you do it. You don't execute a plot that kills someone. Are you people crazy? You're losing your mind. This is Michael Cargill. And you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hello, this is Gerald Daugherty, and I'm the Precinct 3 County Commissioner here in Travis County, and you're listening to Come and Talk It.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about this plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. You mean to tell me you old heads, old hags there, plotted a plan to kidnap the governor? You do know they're going to put you under the jail. And that's exactly what you deserve. You don't like what your governor is doing. You get a candidate to run against this person and you remove them from office. That's what you do. There's no, I don't know what this atmosphere is. I don't know what's going on around the country where the president that's in office, you don't like their politics and people just lose their minds. You know, whether you're on the left, whether you're on the right, doesn't matter what it is, what side you're on. What you do is you vote them out of office. You can't plot to kill someone. Unless they steal your guns.
It was a kidnapping plot.
Just joking.
It was a kidnapping plot. I don't think they were plotting on killing them.
That's an inside joke.
But regardless, so we talked earlier about how one of the gentlemen was pardoned, and you asked me what the crimes were.
Right.
His name was Barry Croft, 44 years old, from
44.
Delaware. And Democratic governor in April 2019, Democratic governor, which is ironic because he's plotting to kidnap a Democratic governor.
Wow.
Democratic governor John Carney granted him a pardon for the 1997 gun charge.
So these are a bunch of Democrats that actually plotted this.
For sure. Well, okay. I don't want to say for sure, but they are not Trump, pro-Trump from what I have seen.
Oh, so this is not going to get any. No traction.
Come on, man.
No traction. Nothing's going to come from the media about this one, I'm sure.
Well, or they'll spin it and make it look like they're Trump supporters, right, which is, I think, what's happening. But or at least at the right wing, which they could be. I really don't know what their political affiliation is.
But we're going to blame Trump anyway, because it's
regardless,
his fault, right?
The crimes that he was pardoned for were from a series of crimes between 1994 and 1996, including assault, burglary, theft, and receiving stolen property.
Bunch of criminals. Bunch of thugs.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. You're going to kill the Michigan governor. Really? I still don't get this.
Gonna kidnap her.
Kidnap, kill, whatever. This is just ridiculous. This is getting out of control. It's getting out of hand. And you're gonna, whatever you're trying to get done, it's gonna kill it for whatever, for everyone else.
Well, it depends how the media. It depends how the media spins it, right?
That's true too.
So if they say, "Hey, these are a bunch of Trump supporters trying to kill the governor of Michigan," then it's gonna make them look bad. But the fact of the matter is, one of the gentlemen, had recorded a video on his webcam, and he said
they weren't even secretive about this. This was like a Facebook group, right? They're all doing this online.
Well, it's a militia.
Yeah, they're all talking about it online though, on social media.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even secretive about it.
Well, one guy had said he had made a webcam video, and he was saying, "Trump is not your friend. We don't like Trump." Blah blah blah. And he had an anarchy banner on the wall behind him. So these are definitely not. you know, your establishment or mainstream conservative, neocon, neoliberal, anything like that. And it, I would go out of my way to say that they maybe are possibly Boogaloo affiliated, but that's maybe might be on a stretch. Like I a wish we stretch. Had Derek here today, because he would be somebody that could, that would maybe have an inside track on this, because he's, you know,
he's a Boogaloo.
I don't know if he's a Boogaloo, but he's familiar with the politics of the Boogie Boys.
Mm. What is a Boogaloo anyway?
Dude, a Boogaloo, man.
What does that mean to you?
Look, Zach, let me tell you what it means to me is the Boogaloo Boys are a bunch of dudes that essentially at bare bones are anti-government, and they do not want tyranny setting in across the country. That's what,
so they're libertarians.
I would say they're libertarians, both left and right leaning libertarians. Very minimal government. If, and maybe some of them border on anarchy. I'm not familiar with anyone that's actually in that movement.
Okay. And hey, and what's going on with this, the Williamson County Sheriff, you know, Sheriff Chody?
Chody?
Yeah, because, I mean,
What a name, right? Chody?
Well, I like the Williamson County DA. You know, I've actually talked to the DA. We've actually had him on the radio show. I've actually had him come and talk at one of the events for one of my groups and stuff like that. And that guy's the real deal.
Chody?
You know? No, the Chody? The district attorney, Mr. Dick. That's his last name. The DA.
Oh, okay.
See, you thought I was making a joke.
Yeah.
No, that is his name.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a real deal. He's actually a good guy.
Sean Dick.
Yeah, Sean Dick. He's a great guy. He is actually, he believes in, you know, if he brings charges against you, he actually believes that. I mean, he's the real deal. He is genuine. And so if that guy, you know, if he decides to send something to the grand jury, he gets a conviction, his intentions are good. He's not doing it for a political gain. So they're trying to spin this like he's a bad guy. And I don't think this guy is the bad guy. This district attorney in Williamson County, Sean Dick, is not the bad guy. This guy has good intentions. So if he brought this case, you know, if he brings a case against me, I got to look within myself and think, okay, I may have done something wrong here. You know, so they're trying to pin him as the bad guy, and I don't think so. We're talking about Williamson County Sheriff Chody in this case of that we were talking last week, which is the young man that actually was tased by the Williamson County Sheriff's Department and was
Javier Ambler
and was actually killed, actually died from that. And the fact that all of a sudden now the Williamson County Sheriff is taunting the fact, Sheriff Chody is taunting the fact that, guess what? They have drones. They have all these drones in the county. Well, guess what? Did any of your drones actually record you tasing this guy to the point that he died?
Well,
I like to know that. Yeah,
it is very, it's a very, there's discrepancies, right, all across the board on this.
And it doesn't matter if you're, and I was upset about the fact that this guy ran. He didn't stop, you know, by law enforcement. Yes, you need to stop. You need to comply. And I teach this in class. You know, something's going on. You don't like what police officers are doing. You can't debate it on the side of the road. You can't debate it there. You're not going to win your case.
You got to hash it out in court.
That is right. You get an attorney and you take it to court. You comply. If an officer's going to arrest you, they're going to arrest you. You can't run. You can't hide. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. The best thing to do is to comply. Because guess what? You know who the system protects? The system protects law enforcement, doesn't protect individuals. You know, and I had this conversation with someone, you know, earlier.
Wait, hold on.
Go ahead.
The system also protects people.
No, it doesn't.
With money.
Yeah, that's true. If you have money, it protects you.
Hey, Casey, can you do the cha-ching sound next time?
Money.
Money. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it works.
So Show me the money. The system is designed to protect police officers. In the words of W.E.B. Du Bois, a system cannot fail those it was never built to protect.
Yeah, well, that's where you get into qualified immunity and police unions and all that kind of stuff. But that we've kind of beaten a dead horse at that point. Because
sure,
even conservatives and libertarians and liberals, and I think everybody across the board pretty much is sort of fed up with that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's why people are protesting. That's why I'm not really beating up protesters that much, because I understand. I get it.
Yeah, but when it becomes rioting is when it's bad.
But I get it.
You know, I had a conversation the other day with somebody, and they were saying that the burning these businesses down is not that big of a deal because of
insurance. Oh, that's a big deal.
And I thought, what are you talking about? Like, there's deductibles. Insurance doesn't cover everything. Insurance is a scam in itself. We're not going to talk about that another time. Right. But it takes years to build a business. You know that. Mm-hmm. And I also do a bunch of like freelance
stuff. Insurance companies do not always want to pay out.
They don't care about you.
No, they don't.
They're insurance companies.
I have insurance. And someone tried to break into our business. I end up paying for that cost. The insurance company did not pay for that.
And Michael, let me ask you.
The insurance company wanted all these documents. They wanted this. They wanted that. They wanted the 911, you know, call copies of this and copies of the alarm call.
It takes time out of your day. And time is money. Time is money when you're a business owner.
I'm arguing with them right now, still today, that a little break in.
From months, all those months ago?
From June, that was on the news. I'm arguing with my insurance company right now and trying to cover
that. And people have the tenacity, Zach, to say that. It's not that big of a deal to burn down somebody's business. I mean, some of these people are barely living paycheck to paycheck off their business anyway.
That's why the Texas law says if you're committing arson, doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime, you can use force of day to force to stop someone.
Yeah.
So I have go for it.
Yeah.
Burn it down. Do what you got to do. That's called arson in Texas, and we can use force of day to force to stop you.
Hey, I have a clarifying question for you. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they were curious if somebody is in your yard trespassing. You cannot use
daily force.
No, I'm sorry. In your yard trespassing with a gun.
They're trespassing, okay? So they're trespassing. Now, is it criminal trespass?
Now, if they're open carrying a long arm.
What's criminal trespass? Doesn't matter if they're open carrying a long arm. They can carry a long arm. So criminal trespass. You've asked them to leave. They refuse to leave. That's criminal trespass. You kind of have to, call the police officer. Police officer shows up. You tell this person in front of the police officer to leave. They refuse to leave. That's criminal trespass. They leave and come back. That's criminal trespass. You can only use force. You cannot use deadly force.
Okay, so I was right. I was right about that. That's what
now,
I told him.
Now, if it's criminal mischief during the nighttime, then you can use deadly force or criminal mischief at night.
So that's when you can start taking pot shots with the 12 gauge.
Or theft at night. You know, but what is nighttime?
30 minutes after sundown.
30 minutes before and 30 minutes after. You got it. That's right.
I passed the test.
You passed
the
test.
Well, I just wanted to clarify that because I have had those people ask me those questions.
We come back from the break. We're going to have Edwin Walker on Texas U.S. Law Shield. We're going to talk about the NFA, the Honey Badger. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're going to talk about the militia member that actually was shot and killed by TV crew's security guard. What's going on with that crap?
Okay, so this guy John Teagan set up a Patriot muster, as it was called, and it was a bunch of right-wing militia groups in Denver, Colorado, having a rally. And towards the end of the day, there had been, there was a BLM counter protest set up nearby, and there was, some clashing, but nothing, from what I understand, nothing very violent and nothing, no grievous violence was committed until towards the end when people were leaving. Mm-hmm. There was I do not know the exact details, but I guess what happened here was that one of the members of the militia group that was involved with Patriot Muster had maced an NBC television crew's security guard, and the guy shot him in the head and killed him. And this was in, you know, broad daylight. And anyways, I want to clarify something that on the Facebook page we made a post, you know, posting a story, and originally it was reported, and this is, you know, aggregate news, so we're reporting what we hear, and originally it was reported that it was a BLM counter protester that shot this guy, which was inaccurate. This was a television crew.
So the initial reports came out that it was BLM.
The initial reports were false. It was inaccurate. It was bad
sometimes.
Reporting. Yeah, and so there's this is yet another rally, though, regardless of who's committing the shooting. This is yet another rally where someone like, you know, a militia member is killed, or Garrett Foster was killed here in Austin, or, you know, what have you. You know, it's happening over and over and over, whether it's left, right, or center, or whatever the political.
That's because you get people that are carrying guns and they're not, you know, they don't know what the laws are. They're not, you know, up to date on their use of force and deadly force.
So,
you know, you think that you can actually, you know, you're driving on the interstate. Someone's driving on the interstate and you decide to block the roadway. You're going to jump on the interstate, you know, like, for instance, what happened in Colorado. And you're going to start a protest by jumping on the interstate. Yeah, you have a right to, you have a First Amendment right, you know, absolutely. But you're blocking a roadway. Now, because you're blocking a roadway, you can't all of a sudden just shoot and kill, you know, shoot at someone because they're driving on the interstate that you're blocking.
Well, here's my question. In this scenario, and I know I don't have all of the facts because I found out about this yesterday.
Okay.
The guy, this the militia member who maced this guy, was he committing some sort of an assault there where it is reasonable for the security crew to shoot him dead?
So it's going to depend on the state. So, like, in Texas...
This is Colorado.
Okay, yeah. In Texas, if you perceive someone to, you know, they're trying to kill you, if they're using aggravated kidnapping, murder, they're trying to kill you. So aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, aggravated robbery, you can use force, daily force to stop them. So the question is, was this person trying to kill them? Did he reason believe they're trying to kill him? So that's in Texas. So I can't speak for Colorado.
So, how do you determine if somebody's reasonably trying to kill you? I mean, if somebody comes at you with their arms, you know, or their hands or whatever, puts you in a headlock and tries to strangle you to death, you can kill that person?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can choke you out and kill you. Absolutely.
So. Okay.
Right? Yeah, they absolutely. Absolutely. All right, not call in number, not yet, is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. But I think we got Edwin Walker. Okay, so we're going to have Edwin Walker on here shortly. We're going to talk to him about this case that's going on with the honey badger. Definitely want to talk to him about that. Before we get to Edwin, before we get to our caller, you know, I want to talk about, you know, Derek Chauvin was released on a $1 million bail.
What's Derek that? Chauvin. That's the police officer who kneeled on George Floyd's back. He was just released from jail on a $1 million bail.
Okay. What's up with the police officer in North Texas?
Who shot that guy who was breaking up a domestic dispute?
Yeah, and then they put him in a different jail, a different county. What's up with that? Yeah, so they arrested him. They put him in jail, but he's not in the jail of where it happened. He's actually in jail in a different county.
Well, it might have something to do with protective custody, maybe, because they think that he might get killed in that jail.
Oh, well, okay. Why do you need to be treated special?
Well, they do that with pedophiles and child molesters and rapists.
Do
and
they?
Also, how?
I mean, I've never heard that before.
Well, have you ever been to jail?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, people can ask to be put in PC, and if they do, they get different treatment.
So you put him in solitary confinement or something like that?
It differs jail to jail, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this honey badger. Because the ATF, they actually sent a cease and desist letter to, you know, the people that make the honey badger and said, hey, you need to stop what you're doing. Let's find out what's going on with that. Let's go to Edwin Walker with Texas and U.S. Law Shield. Edwin, you're on with Come and Talking, sir.
How you doing, Mike? Thanks for having me.
Hey, Edwin, what's going on with this? You know, I have people calling me. People are in the shop today on a Sunday, bringing me their guns, say, hey, look at this. Do Do I have to turn this gun in too? It's similar to the Honey Badger. I have this Mossberg Shockwave, you know. Do I have to turn that in? You know, I have this AR pistol, you know, do I need to get rid of it because it's similar to the, you know, to the Honey Badger? So what's going on? What do we need to do here?
Well, you know, I don't want to say anything that's going to send off a wave of panic.
The sky is falling.
Sky is falling, yes. But, you know, this is exactly, you know, you and I both know how long we've been talking about the stabilizing brace. And this looks like it goes, you know, it's going to come down to the stabilizing brace, which the ATF has been, you know, they were unclear, but then they were really clear. And they said, hey, if you use it as designed, you're A-okay. And then they said, even if you shoulder it, but you don't alter it, you're A-okay. And so now they have targeted a pistol, a specific pistol. You know, this doesn't apply. They didn't make some sort of uniform ruling. They didn't go ahead and make a determination about all pistols that have stabilizing arm braces. The Honey Badger is specifically made with a stabilizing arm brace. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you go and you buy one, it comes from the factory. You don't have to put one on it. It already comes that way. And so basically the ATF released they sent a very confusing letter to the manufacturer, which is a company called Q. And just kind of an interesting side note, Q is based in New Hampshire. They are a manufacturer based in New Hampshire. So while they are technically in the live free or die state, you have to, you may be interested to know that the ATF field office that oversees Q is based out of, guess what, Boston. So you can imagine that there are probably not many pro-Second Amendment people who embrace development of firearms in the Boston field office. So they're the ones that sent the letter. They're the ones that kind of instigated this. Now, what is disturbing is that, and I've listened to a couple interviews with the guy who owns Q. And if people are looking up the letter, they'll see that it's addressed at the beginning of August. And so they may think to themselves, wow, it's been 60 days since they were told to do this, and now we're just now hearing about it.
Right.
Well, apparently the manufacturer, Q manufacturer, has been attempting since August to work with the ATF to figure out what specifically is wrong with the Honey Badger. What specifically are they talking about? Because they make mention of a couple different things. They mention the arm brace. They mention the length of the barrel. They mention the fact that the barrel is rifled. So they apparently have taken what they are terming a, and I'm using my air quotes, a holistic approach to looking at the weapon itself. And for some reason, out of all the, you know, pistols that look like or function like or are the same size as the Honey Badger, they have chosen to focus in on three weapons made by Q. So far, it's been the Honey Badger, but they also are looking at one manufactured by Q called the Mini Fix, and they're also looking at one manufactured by Q called the Sugar Weasel. I guess that's sort of a, you know, obviously a play on the word Honey Badger. But that's what's going on now, and it is very concerning that they are taking this holistic look. But it is kind of reminiscent of the way that they looked at the Mossberg Shockwave. And, you know, fortunately, the ATF came down on the side of right, truth, and justice on the Mossberg Shockwave, but apparently have not taken that same position with regard to this Honey Badger. And so, basically, if what I would advise people is if somebody is in possession of the Honey Badger specifically, you know, not a Honey Badger copy, not another firearm manufactured by a different maker, manufactured by SIG or, you know, Daniel Defense or, you know, Rock River, or Springfield, anybody else who's making a similar firearm. But if they are in the position of the Honey Badger, that it probably, just to be on the safe side, go ahead, disassemble it, because it is not against the law to be in possession of the parts that make up a short barrel rifle. it is only illegal to be in possession of the short barrel rifle itself. And also keep in mind that they did not specifically pass judgment on the stabilizing brace. They're only looking at the stabilizing brace in terms of it being manufactured as part of the Honey Badger. And so I would say people who own stabilizing braces, don't freak out. If you own other firearms, don't freak out yet. And I say yet because this could very well be a camel's nose sort of thing. You know, this is the camel's nose under the tent. So I guess the ATF is going to see how far they can get away with pushing Q around, which is a relatively small company, and that's probably why they another reason they went after them, thinking that they would not have the will or the gumption or the resources to fight back that hard. Also, keep in mind, you know, I know there will be quite a few people out there that will say, you know, this is Trump's ATF, and they're going after guns again, sort of like they did with the, you know, with the bump stock thing, but keep in mind at the these ATF field offices and in the middle management, you know, you're dealing with career bureaucrats. So these are people that have been members of the ATF way before Trump became president. But that being said, he certainly has the power to issue an executive order or get the Department of Justice to re-examine this, back off of this. And also just one other little nugget, I've been talking a while, that in the event that the ATF chooses to try to prosecute somebody, it's not going to be the ATF, it's the Department of Justice. And so the ATF can make, the ATF is merely a police agency. They can make all the accusations they want, they can do all the investigation they want, but if the Department of Justice, if the U.S. attorneys look like they are going to embrace this position by the ATF, then yeah, we are in real trouble.
All right, so we're talking with Edwin Walker. He's a principal attorney with Texas U.S. Law Shield. We're talking about the Honey Badger. Talking about if you have a Honey Badger, you may want to take it apart. There's two little pins. Pop those pins out. Take it apart. Separate the upper from the lower. And then you're not in possession of an illegal firearm. But if you have other guns, you're not talking about those. They're talking about the Honey Badger. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about the Honey Badger with Texas U.S. Law Shield Principal Attorney Edwin Walker, talking about the company Q and how their Honey Badger, they actually receive a cease and desist order from the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosive Division of the Department of Justice there to say, hey, stop making what you're making. So let's go to the phone lines. Our call-in number is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. Let's go to our caller, Matthew. Matthew, you're on Come and Talk It.
Hey, Mike.
All right.
How's it going?
All right. What's your question, Matthew?
So my question is for our wonderful attorney here. So I know Q is a maker of the Honey Badger, but are they the actual maker of the Honey Badger? Because if I remember correctly, it's Advanced Armament Corporation who is the original designer of said Honey Badger. And my question revolves around what happened with Black Ace Tactical a while back, where they were importing shotguns from Turkey that were 14 inches long, had the shockwave grip on them, and they were converting them and then selling them with a pistol brace. And they were told that by converting them, that was given a that was creating a short barrel shotgun for sales.
Hey, Edwin, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, that's a lot of very specific knowledge that I am not really.
Yep, that's Matt.
But this. The letter was sent to Q. It only affects Q. It only affects people who have purchased the Honey Badger. And so currently Q is in negotiations, I guess, with the ATF. And I kind of want to go back to a point that I was attempting to make earlier, that the letter came out in August. Apparently they have been trying to work with the ATF for the last 2 months to figure out what to do about redesigning the Honey Badger, what to do specifically about what information they are required to pass along to their customers who have purchased the Honey Badger. And of course, you know, it's going to be an administrative nightmare if all of these individuals who have purchased the Honey Badger are faced with the choice of either submitting, I guess, retroactively a Form 4. I know that one of the points that I heard that they had discussed was allowing people who currently possess the Honey Badger to have them and basically grandfathered them in. And apparently that the that was a non-ish starter with the ATF. They were not going to have any of that. So if you do own a Honey Badger, you're going to have to submit it, you know, submit a Form 4 to try to get the tax stamp. So yeah. I'm unaware about this specific shotgun, Turkish shotgun that you're talking about, but
yeah, no, because if, the reason why is if, because I have a lot of people, and what they want to do is they want to buy the Mossberg Shockwave or the Remington 870 with the bird's head style shockwave grip, and then just go home and slap on a pistol brace, SBA pistol brace onto it. And to me personally, because of the way the law has stated that that is a firearm only in that configuration, by altering it in any way, that would require a Form 1 for short barrel shotgun.
You know, I certainly I agree with that inclination because of the unique place that the Mossberg Shockwave and its copycats kind of reside in. Because, you know, that's kind of the even though it is designed to be fired with both hands, it's a shotgun specifically because it's not designed to be fired from the shoulder. If the ATF were to say, look, you've attached this device, which we have previously said is okay. However, in this particular configuration, you have sufficiently redesigned. The thing about this is
And I do apologize for interrupting, but that's exactly what happened to Black Ace Tactical. Is they were taking shotguns that were pre-configured with a bird's head grip, altering them with a pistol brace in their own workshops, and then selling them out. They got hit hard, and we were required to recall every single one. We had customers coming in with those.
Well, that's you know, that may be what happens here, and that, I think that that's one thing that Q was negotiating with the ATF, that they would be able to either provide the ATF with a list, a serial number list of the sort of, you have sort of the pre-ban rifles, similar to whenever the 1994 assault weapons ban went into effect, that if the ATF had a list of honey badgers that were already out there on the market, that those would be exempt. But because the, obviously the last thing that Q wants to do, and it may be the financial burden may be so substantial that it may actually put them out of business, is having to recall and refund everybody who currently owns a honey badger. And so that's, you know, that would be a very devastating blow to them. And the thing about it is this is the sort of thing that the ATF would use as precedence. It would embolden them to go after bigger fish next time. And the thing about it is that, you know, I don't want to turn this into the, you know, political, but we are, pardon me, we are a month away from the election. And this is exactly the type of stuff that not just the ATF would be capable of doing, but that certain politicians who are running on certain platforms that would say that certain rifles have to now retroactively have a $200 tax stamp in order to be legally possessed, that is expressly stated on certain politicians' websites, that if those people get into office, it will be extremely troubling, is a mild way to put it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because right now, as of the other thing that the ATF has always said is that a pinwheel job on a 14.5-inch barrel with a 2.75-inch muzzle device will make a 16-inch overall length rifle. So will that be the next thing they go after, or is it my concern? Because I have a couple of those, or I used to have a couple of those.
Yeah, and, you know, that the thing about it is that that's what – the anti-gun folks and the anti-gun members of, you know, the deep state, if I can go ahead and use a conspiracy term, what they have done is that instead of attacking the firearms directly, because they do realize that only Congress has the ability to, you know, flat out prohibit or regulate the firearms themselves, is that they have turned their attention to firearms accessories, which is, you know, which clearly is aimed at the AR platform, because that's what the AR platform, that's one of its greatest features, is that it can be accessorized so extensively. And so these anti-gun folks say, well, if we can't go after the gun, we're going to go after the accessories. And so, you know, we were able to do it pretty good with the bump stock. Now we're going to go after the stabilizing brace, and we're going to go after the binary trigger. We're going to go after the threaded barrel, and we're going to go after the large capacity magazines. And, you know, so basically it's sort of death by a thousand cuts, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right, awesome. All right. Any other questions you got for Edwin and Matt?
Let's see, anything else I can think of. I think mostly it was just the pistol braces, the honey badger issue, and mostly, yeah, all that stuff.
All right, awesome.
But I wanted to do one thing, if you're okay with it, Mike, and go back to what you were talking about with the governor and the Boogaloo Boys.
Okay.
Most of them are very much in the idea of just leave us alone, let us do what we want. We don't really like the gov, but we won't complain as long as you don't get into our business. What the people who I guess wanted to get the governor out are not the same group of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In my mind.
So there's different – that's a nasty little group there. Yeah,
that's just a nasty little group who's just decided, you know what, we hate these guys, and we're going to try to give them a bad look by trying to imitate them.
Yeah, because they're taking a step a little further there.
Mm-hmm. No, the only thing that the Boogaloo Boys will ever do is probably protest and say, you know what, if you come after us anyway, we're going to do something. They are not the progressive, we're going to do something first to cause all kinds of major havoc.
Okay. All right, awesome. All right, thank you, Matt.
No problem. Catch you later.
All righty. All right, so Edwin. Well, not Edwin, but I want to ask you, Zach. Governor Abbott is leaving it up for the county judges to decide if bars can open. So I think this is a slick way that the governor is actually putting the county judges on the hook here. You know, because if he says, hey, let's leave it up to the county judge to decide whether or not a bar can open. If you do that and you're a bar, you're closed, and your county judge won't allow you to open, that rallies people to go vote to get this person put out of office. What do you think about that? So I think he's actually being pretty smart.
So you think he's trying to get the judges voted out?
Yeah, especially like Travis County.
So who's the judge in Travis County?
Well, that the judge that's actually there in Travis County is actually running for state senator. So that person has actually resigned that seat. So it's an open seat. So that's, you know, you're like, hey, that's a key point there. All right, we come back from the break. I'm going to go back to Edwin. I got some questions for Edwin Walker there at Texas U.S. Law Shield. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coley on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about, you know, what I want to talk about now is that the White Settlement shooting. Because, Edwin, I heard that Texas and U.S. Law Shield defended the instructor, the fire instructor that actually protected the church and stopped that shooter at the White Settlement Church. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes,
I didn't even tell you we were going to talk about this, you know, but I heard that yesterday. I was in the LTC course, and the guys from Texas and U.S. Law Shield, they were doing their presentation in the class, said, hey, you know, and I was talking about that shooting, and they said, hey, you know, who defended that person? I said, no. He's like, we did. I was like, really? So, well, I'm going to ask Edwin that tomorrow. I'm not going to tell him. I'm just going to ask him on air.
Yes. Yeah, we're very proud of the actions of Jack Wilson for protecting himself, his the congregation there at the White Settlement Church of Christ. He is a Law Shield member. The afternoon that happened, I remember it very well. I was not working the hotline, but one of our great lawyers was working the hotline. He took the call, and one of the Dallas area lawyers was able to immediately respond, has been there, you know, side by side with him the entire time. And, you know, while many believe that it was probably a foregone conclusion that he would be no-billed, you know, it was officially no-billed this either past week or the week before.
And see, that's important because a lot of people think, you know, look at that case there, that situation, you know, that still had to go to a grand jury. He still had to have an attorney, you know, with him through that grand jury phase. And if he did not have an attorney, you know, you're even if you're justified in your shooting, it's clearly justified. It still has to go to a grand jury, and you have to get it, you know, no billed, because that's, you know, one that helps you. Well, that takes care of the criminal case, and it also helps you with the civil case. And it's going to cost you money if you don't have an attorney. And a lot of people don't understand that they think bullets are expensive right now. They think they're a dollar. Let me tell you.
Wait till you go to court.
If you can find it. But if you go to court, you know what? When you fire that gun, that's a $10,000 bullet. 10 grand is what it's going to cost you.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that, you know, of course, whenever the police respond to any type of shooting, even a shooting that does not wind up with an injured party or a deceased party, the police are still going to be there asking a bunch of questions. And so you have to know what to say, what not to say. You have to know, you know, when to tell the police that you were defending yourself, defending someone else. Know exactly, you know, what type of words the police are looking for, and which, you know, a lot of people think that all they got to say is I was defending my life, and which that's not it. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of technical nuance that goes into that, especially with regard to the establishment of the legal presumptions that, of course, everybody wants or everybody should want anytime they use either force or deadly force. So it does not even have to be a shooting. It can be just simply a situation where you had to show your gun or a situation where you had to use your fist or another type of weapon. You know, any use of force or deadly force is going to be in large part affected by whether or not the police and ultimately the prosecutors agree or are persuaded that you should have the benefit of the legal presumption that your use of force or deadly force was reasonable. Right. And so that's what, you know, instead of saying, that, you know, somebody attacked me, you should be specific about, you know, did they invade a specific area like your home or your car? What did they do to make you think not just that they were going to injure you, but that they were going to give you serious bodily injury or perhaps death?
Now,
you have to know to couch it in those terms.
Just to clarify and give perspective to people in case they forgot what case we're talking about, the White Settlement shooting was at a church, and a gunman entered the church through a back door, and this guy, Jack Wilson, shot him as he was about to kill somebody, right?
No, he had already shot and killed. He shot two individuals.
Okay.
Both of them ultimately died.
Okay, so he had already shot and killed two people, but essentially what I was trying to get at is that he prevented a mass shooting.
Yes, it was, and Jack Wilson is quite the marksman.
Yeah, that was 20 yards?
Yeah, he was able to shoot all the way across, you know, a large portion of the church.
Right.
Not hit anybody else, not put anybody in danger. I believe he shot one time.
Yes, it was a headshot.
A headshot, yes. So Jack Wilson, you know, obviously a fine individual. He's been honored and awarded by the governor. He, you know, stopped a mass shooting because clearly, in fact, the two individuals that sadly lost their lives that day were large men. You know, he obviously targeted the individuals who he thought would be the greatest resistors and put them out of commission first.
Right, right.
So that he would just have a church full of weak targets.
Well, then that's why Jack Wilson had that concealed carry, right? He was
an instructor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a firearms instructor. I mean, he's obviously an ace marksman. And yes, he's an instructor. And I believe that one of the individuals who was killed was also part of the security team and was carrying a gun.
Wow.
Unfortunately, he was not able to get to his gun before. And the other man was I believe, a deacon in the church. And so a very well-liked, well-honored man. And yeah, so, it's very, very unfortunate.
Edwin, We have found some.
Hold on, before you go there, I want to ask you, Edwin, criminal trespass. A lot of people are asking us, and we're getting a lot of phone calls about, you know, criminal trespass. You know, I have these homeless people in my neighborhood that are, you know, my house backs up to the green belt. You know, can I shoot and kill someone who's on my property? You know, because they're committing criminal trespass on my property.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about criminal trespass as well, because in large part, and it's very, very unfortunate, but we have seen just anecdotally that a lot of times the police do not like to enforce criminal trespass laws. And so, and generally the people that are criminal trespassers are more of your vagrant type of individuals who just, even if they do get cited or taken to jail, they'll be right back. And criminal trespass is one of the very, very few crimes that the Texas Penal Code specifically says that you cannot use deadly force against a criminal trespasser. Now, every time we tell people this, who of course believe that the signs that say trespassers will be shot is good legal advice, they always respond with, "You're telling me that I gotta let a criminal trespasser get, I gotta let him break in my house and shoot my dog and rob my safe." I'm like, no, that's not. they always take it to another level. Yes.
Yeah.
criminal trespass is a very specific crime, okay? It means that somebody is on your property when they have been given notice that they are not allowed to be on your property, okay? They haven't entered a building. They haven't stolen anything. They haven't tried to destroy your property or key your car or anything else. They're simply on a piece of property where they have been given notice through many different types of ways. They're not supposed to be there.
Okay, so what about this, Edwin? What if there is a, you know, Antifa BLM protest marching through your neighborhood and they are open carrying long rifles? And they, climb over your fence onto your yard.
Well, that is a Class A misdemeanor. Trespassing with a firearm is a Class A misdemeanor. Still criminal trespassing, though. And so you can use force. The penal code is very clear.
Like you could beat them with a pipe?
You probably could not beat them with a pipe. You probably could beat them with your fist, but okay, not with a pipe. But
got to settle things like men around here, Michael.
But keep in mind that circumstances can change instantaneously.
Right.
And so the penal code is very specific that you are allowed to use force.
Even if they have a gun?
A trespasser. Even if they have a gun. Because they have a gun. Like I said, criminal trespass, normally Class B misdemeanor. With a gun, it's a Class A misdemeanor. And so it is a more heightened crime. But keep in mind that if they have a gun, it is not difficult to imagine a circumstance whereby their act, after they are told, hey, you're a trespasser, get off my property, that it is not difficult to imagine that the circumstances would not evolve so that somebody could truthfully and legally describe the fact that that gun was about to be used against them,
thus
constituting an attempted murder.
Understood.
All right. So, yeah, definitely come to class, and we can tell you when you can, like the lady said that who was from England this week. She said, you know, I just need to know when I can pop a cop. So this is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back. We're talking with Edwin Walker with Texas U.S. Law Shield. We're just, you know, now we're just asking him some hard questions there. We're going to just pot shot you a little bit there, Edwin. So we got some questions about Colorado.
Okay, Mr. Edwin Walker.
Yes.
How you doing, man? Okay, so.
All right.
Are you familiar with the situation in Denver between the Patriot Muster rally and the NBC television crew security guard? I'm sorry.
I've seen some of the videos.
So we have some photos that Casey's going to pull up here. They're up right now. And basically what happened here was it appears that there was a sort of an altercation between the security guard for NBC television crew and a member of the militia. And the militia member had mace ready, and then he gave a little left-handed slap to the security guard.
Oh, wow.
And after slapping him, he maced him, and the security guard shot him in the head and killed him. Is that reasonable, I don't know the legal jargon, but is that reasonable for this security guard to have done that?
Well, it certainly... It's going to depend on what the security guard offers as his justification.
Right.
As
okay.
far as keep in mind that whenever a case goes to trial, It goes to trial, obviously, because both sides, the prosecution and the defense, thinks that they can convince the jury to agree with them. The defense, though, theoretically has an easier job because all they have to do is say that the prosecution has to eliminate whenever the defense says it's self-defense, and the jury is presented with that in the jury instruction. It is the prosecutor has what we call the burden of persuasion. It's part of their burden of proof. They're all burden of proof, but they have the burden of persuasion to convince the jury beyond a reasonable doubt that there is no possible way that a reasonable person would view this as self-defense. And so imagine that you have just simply a list on a board, and the prosecution says these are the reasons that it's unreasonable, that the guy who got the deceased didn't have a deadly weapon. He had a chemical weapon. He was, you know, who engaged the contact? What were there any words that were that could be taken as a threat? And of course, on the other side, the defense will be arguing things like that the chemical dispensing device is in fact a deadly weapon. That basically it's an incapacitating weapon. And also keep in mind that across the board, whether it's Texas or Colorado or any other state, deadly force is not just force that will cause death or is reasonably likely to cause death, but it also includes injuries, serious bodily injuries, okay? So any kind of injury that impedes a major life function.
Right.
Now, generally, this is meant, you know, this is seen as broken bones, deep lacerations,
like stab wounds and punctured organs,
things right, like okay. that. Yes. And so I could imagine that one argument would be that obviously pepper spray is an incapacitating agent. And so if the goal is to incapacitate the individual, thus allowing the gun, because at that point it would cease to be the shooter's gun. It's now a gun that simply exists in the middle of this conflict. And so if the aggressive individual used an incapacitating agent to attempt to gain access to a deadly weapon and use it against the other individual, if that is seen as a reasonable belief, or more precisely, the prosecutors failed to eliminate the fact that a reasonable person would believe that that is a reasonable possibility, then, you know, the defendant would be found not guilty in that respect.
All right, Edwin, give us some quick legal advice here on early voting. It's election day. Early voting starts Tuesday. You know, can I have a sword? Can I have can I take my gun, inside the grocery store if there's a polling location there?
Yeah, a polling place is a place where you are not allowed to take any firearm, a club, or a location prohibited knife. And so you could not take your sword, you could not take your club, you can't even take anything that would resemble a knife or a club, or a location-restricted knife or a club. So you couldn't say, this is my flag, and I've got a flagpole. They're probably going to say, hey, that's a club, just leave it in your car. And also, you cannot take a firearm. Generally, the area of the polling place that is looked at as the prohibited location, and keep in mind, all of these polling places are overseen by an individual called an election judge. And so the election judge basically is the ruler of that polling place. And so whatever that election judge says goes. And if the election judge picks up the phone and calls the police and says, there is a person here who I believe is violating Texas Penal Code 4603, that election judge's word is going to be gold. You know, you can't argue with the election judge. So generally, you know, the safest place is to have it in your car. You can have it in your car. Even if you're out at the polling locations, generally speaking, pardon me, the area that the election judge supervises is the area where they put those little signs up that say no electioneering past this point. And so be on the lookout for those, because if the election judge were to say, look, this guy had a gun, he came and he stood, he didn't come into the, you know, he didn't come into the building, but he came through the area where I control, you probably would wind up getting arrested at that point and then have to fight it out in the court about whether or not that actually constituted the premises of the area or fell under an exception. And so you definitely would want to just, you know, keep it in your car just to be safe. And so even if you're in an area that is normally not off limits, like you mentioned a grocery store, or I know that they occasionally have polling places in city halls and in churches, other areas. My polling place happens to be in a school, so I know that I definitely can't carry, you know, in there. But if you're in an area where it's normally not a prohibited location, like I said, your best bet, your best argument about, I was just carrying to the grocery store. I didn't come here to vote. I didn't intend to vote. Then just stay away from the cordoned off area where they have the polls set up.
Okay. And then my last question for you, Edwin, is under 46035, unlawful carrying of a handgun by a license holder, they mentioned they replaced churches, number six there, with something else. They actually replaced it with civil commitment facilities. What are those?
Civil commitment facilities are they're like mental hospitals, and that is actually kind of a change that they put in 4603 in the previous legislative session. Basically, instead of just limiting it to saying, you know, hospitals, you have these areas where an individual is detained against their will, and they have these, you know, facilities. And it's not like a prison in that they're not technically being punished, but yet they are. Civil commitment facilities are also used for sex offenders, where you can, it may surprise a lot of people, but there is a law in the state of Texas that says that even after a sex offender finishes their punishment, let's say they get sentenced to 25 years in prison, they serve all 25 years, they don't get paroled early, they are done with their sentence, the state of Texas still has the ability to go in and say and prove to a judge that this person is still a threat to the community. And so the judge can actually have them recommitted to a facility, and it's considered to be a civil commitment. Therefore, they're not subject to the same due process protections as a criminal sentence.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Man, thank you, Edwin. I appreciate that. All right. So as always, you know, you definitely give us insight into what's going on. You update us on what the laws are. And Jackie says, that's why I'm a member of Texas Law Shield. I'm going to remain silent until they show up. That's right. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Dial 911 first, then call your attorney. You might even get Edwin Walker. Thank you, Edwin.
Thank you, Jackie.
All right. Awesome. All right, Edwin. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yes, Michael. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. It's always great to be to share these Sunday afternoons with you. And you and your whole crew have a great day as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Edwin.
All right. So, man, that's it's crazy what's going on.
Edwin's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy, great lawyer.
He knows too much.
I would. Oh, man. Why do you say that?
He just knows everything.
He just knows too much.
He knows the penal code by heart.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, he's an impressive person. I didn't want to take it there, but you guys did.
All right, so I tell you what, you know, next week I'm not sure what we're going to do, but I do want you to remember this. People ask me about what are my thoughts about Breonna Taylor case and what's going with that. My thoughts on Breonna Taylor case is the system is designed to protect police officers so it's not designed to protect you. In the words of W.E.B. Du Bois, a system cannot fail those it was never built to protect. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You be listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
You can keep your change. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.